Donald in the Kitchen talks about food. Donald in the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio.
The Donald in the Kitchen show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. More information can be found at www.themuckyduckpub.com or from Marcus at telephone number 232-8888.
Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We gather here once a week to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. Thank you for joining us today. This is KHOI Community Radio. And yes, they let people like us on the radio. We have a good time doing this. Spring is here. I'm looking out the window here. There is a magnolia blooming. So
it started right on Easter. It's like Easter morning, you come out, and there was the magnolia in bloom. Perfectly on cue.
After a cold bit of winter, it's nice to have things blooming. And yes, there is hope. We could use some rain. Now is the time for those April showers, I think. Well, come on, April showers. That would be good. I planted a few trees yesterday. I'm feeling very springy. I planted some serviceberry. I'll make some jam out of that. It's also called Juneberry or Saskatoon. And I hope they take off real well.
Well, I put some seeds in the ground. I mean, I know we're not supposed to do that till May 1st, but I don't know. Looking out on the, you know, on the 10 or 15 day forecast, we may not get another frost. So I thought I'll just take a chance.
Well, we can. And this will probably be my week to plant onions, maybe. And again, you can put them in the ground, and they can get a little bit of snow on them. So think of your garden, even if you don't put anything in. Now's the time to kind of take your cup of coffee, look at that garden plot, and where do I want to put things this year? Because it is coming, folks. It is good. Yes, it is. Well, we have a really good topic for the show today. We're going to talk about those that support our organization called Food at First. Hunger. Yes, there are hungry people in Central Iowa, and there is an organization that has been addressing hunger graciously and tirelessly in our community for many, many years. It's called Food at First. Joining us today to talk about Food at First are some good volunteers we have with us, Bernie White and Don Wishart. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Good. I hear tell Bernie White is a retired professor of biochemistry at Iowa State, and he got started with Food at First a long, long time ago, and he's got some great stories to share about that. And he coordinates pickups and of donations and that's another story. We'll ask him about that. And Don Wishart is retired from Iowa State University Extension. And matter of fact, way back when, Don Wishart and I used to work in the same building on campus. Yes, he was. He did news writing, photography, publication, writing, and editing for 4-H publications and audiovisual productions. And he's been involved with Food at First for about 8 years. So good. So one of you, what's Food at First? How does it work? Either one of you just jump right in. Tell your stories.
Well, I'll start, and then Bernie, you can jump in when I run out of gas here. The particular part that I'm most involved in, I think, is the daily, almost daily food pickups for what is the daily meal that is served at the Food at First site. And then we also, as I said, we do several pickups during the week as well. Anyway, it's a daily meal program. First Christian Church, right across the street from City Hall. Meals are planned and prepared by members of local community groups every day. And in our case, Bernie and I, our particular group is Ames Noon Kiwanis. And we take our turn of doing this on the months that have a fifth Monday. So this year we will do that four times. The program Fruit at First is not at all connected to any government program.
You don't have to qualify in any way.
No, you don't. There's no, you Great. Don't have to give your, as a participant or as a recipient of a meal, you don't have to give any information. You don't have to give your name, nothing about it. You are there to, since COVID hit, you are there to pick up your meal. Prior to COVID, you're Bernie, go ahead.
I think our motto is and has been, or Food at First has been, everyone welcome, food is free.
That says it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So good.
So anybody can be a guest, as Bernie pointed out as well. No IDs required, no questions asked.
Yes.
Nothing.
Free meal distributed Sunday through Friday, starting at about 5:45, and okay, then so on good. Saturday, starting at 11:45. Prior to COVID, and how many times have we said this? Prior to COVID, the meal was a sit-down meal in the church basement. Because of COVID, of course, our lives have all changed, and now the meal is distributed, bagged, outside the church doors, just at the edge of the parking lot.
So it's all to go now, then.
Yes, it is. That's correct.
We talked to Patty Yoder, who has been a tireless organizer of this whole thing for quite a while. We talked to her a couple years ago. And one of the things I remember from that interview is that, as you said, there are no qualifications to come to the table. And
no.
She said, these folks are our guests. And that
yes,
is
they are.
That is it's a wonderful way to do it. And it speaks really well of a community effort that looks on everyone as a guest.
Yeah. And I think it fits. I think the Food at First model, I think, fits very well with community groups like Kiwanis, because I think their philosophies for existing are very similar to that, to be of assistance, to be of a help, to be a resource in the community. So it's a good match.
I looked on the calendar that's on the website at Food at First, because there are a lot of civic groups that take a meal either once a month or once a week, and it involves student organizations and other religious organizations and all kinds of social service like Kiwanis groups come in and prepare the meals together. It looks really, first of all, it looks incredibly well organized, I have to say. So Don, if you're doing it every day, this sounds like a full-time job.
Some days it seems like that. Yes. But it's the thing that I maybe surprised myself a little bit. You become familiar with people that are donating food to you. For example, we pick up a couple different places on the Iowa State University campus, and it's just a very relaxed, friendly feeling when you walk in their back door unannounced. You don't even have to say who you are, because they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really do enjoy those types of encounters where you can be relaxed and, you know, everybody in the room knows why you're there and what you're doing, and people do appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
So the food comes in. Some of it is already cooked and some of it is ingredients. Is that how it works?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
So the food is already cooked, or some of it is ingredients, or how? What are you picking up?
Okay, for instance, let's just take one example on campus. We pick up from Hawthorne Cafe on the north edge of campus. Some of the food items we pick up are items that would have been made into sandwiches, for instance. But on that particular day, they didn't have customers ordering that particular item. So the prepared, ready-to-go ingredients are still bagged. Mm-hmm. And so the unsold items that they can't use the next day or whatever, then are donated to us. Sometimes the packaged items that didn't sell out of a cold case, for instance, that's another donation. Another site on campus that we started picking up several months ago was the Sukup end zone at the south end of the football stadium.
Oh, yes.
And this is the meal program that feeds the football team during training, during the fall season when there are games and that sort of thing. And I don't recall precisely how we got connected there on day one, but we go there. I think it's twice a week, maybe three times a week. I can't remember that detail right off the top of my head. But anyway, the point is we get a tremendous amount of ready-to-serve food from that source. And we're talking a lot of food. These meals are prepared for big, hunky guys and who have great appetites. So yeah, and we bring this back. Some of it is still warm in the pan. You know, it's that fresh. So bring it back to the church. Make sure that whoever is cooking that day knows that it's there. And if they're on site, they are asked to come in and look at what's available. And if it fits in their plan for the menu for the evening, they're very likely to use it. If not, we mark it very clearly and put it in the walk-in cooler for use the next day or whatever. But we really make very sure that we vocally thank these folks at the stadium every time we're there. I think they may be getting tired of hearing that, but they're, and I don't think before we started picking up, they had a clue that this much food would have an almost immediate use.
Well, so, you know,
it's been a real good thing.
As a professional chef, I have to say, you know, when you're in a commercial kitchen and especially in restaurant or even institutional food, oftentimes how much food you make is not exactly, you can't predict it. And
yeah,
knowing, having a place to put the leftovers is a huge relief, because
yeah,
managing the food inventories can be, you know, it's perishable. It has to
yeah
be used within a certain place. So
right,
as a chef, having a place to put the excess food is a huge relief.
Yeah,
knowing that it's not going to be wasted.
Right.
That people, yeah, it's right, it's a huge service that you guys are doing.
I want to pick up. I want to do a segue and do some historical thing.
Right, I was going to. This is Bernie White, and he's been with them for a long time. So
yep,
tell us your stories.
All kinds of connections to what Don is talking about. So Food at First began down at First United Methodist Church. I'm going to say 15 years ago. So that's when that program actually began, and they started serving one meal a week from donated food. At the time, there was a person there called Scott Walker who didn't know the word no. So anything he didn't, I was there when he get this phone call and they would say, we have this bizarre food. Can we bring it to you? And we'd look at each other and he'd say, sure, bring it on down. So anyway, relating to that and going back to Ames Noon Kiwanis, 12 years ago, Linda and I received a telephone call from a student at Iowa State. And the student at Iowa State said, would you be willing to take on one more volunteer job? And I said, well, tell me what you're talking about. And he said, well, it involves food. And I said, oh, we love food. And he said, well, what's going on is that we, the students, have started a program at Iowa State where once a week we pick up food from Hawthorne Court that Don mentioned, and we take it to something called Food at First. So Linda and I said, well, let's find out more about it. So we went down to Hawthorne Court, and the student said, we've been picking up once a week, okay, which sounded pretty nice, and we've been taking to the church, but the students who have been working on this program have all gone home for the summer. So would you be willing to pick up this Friday afternoon duty? So we said, sure, and having no idea what we were getting into. Shortly thereafter, we got a call from the head of ISU Dining. It's now Karen Miller. She's moved on, but she called us into her office and she said, you know, I know you've been involved with Hawthorne, but we have at least seven other cafes on campus. And I would like to start this program at all these other cafes.
Well,
and I'm looking at her and I'm saying,
time,
you're talking about
because everybody was
once a week at seven different cafes.
And getting
she
their
said,
numbers
oh
up.
No, that's just the
Times
beginning.
Church.
And I heard her get on the telephone and call some of these cafes and explain to them what they needed to do. And I could hear from her end saying, oh my gosh, yes, you will do this. So as this began, I went back to the Ames Noon Kiwanis and I said, here's an opportunity for us with a new service project, a brand new one. Would we as a group be willing to start to help with this food project? And the board said, yes, but the caveat was, as long as you, Bernie White, coordinate the whole thing.
See what you did. Yeah.
Which we did. So it grew very, very quickly. But we remembered that the start at Hawthorne, my wife helped, and the second time we picked up, she asked Karen, who was the manager of Hawthorne Cafe. She said, Karen, what did you do with this food? And this relates to what you had to say. What did you do with this food before we started coming to pick it up? And with tears streaming down her face, she said, every morning at 6 a.m., I went to the dumpster.
Yeah.
So instead of reusing this perishable food, it went into the dumpster. So this whole program has had some wonderful, wonderful effects of serving people, but also reducing the food waste that might take place in our community. For me, it expanded to 11 pickups a week with 8 or 9 Kiwanis volunteers.
So that's just on campus, right?
That's just on the cafes on the ISU campus. Now, several of those volunteers also did the grocery store, but mostly I focused on the ISU campus pickups.
My goodness. Yeah, Bernie, to follow up with your current conversation, my wife, Mary Ellen, keeps very good track of things. And she created a chart, which we posted at Food at First, that includes all of the drivers and the pickups and the sources where we gather. And just to give you some big figures here, total figures, right now we have 16 drivers. Now, these are not all Kiwanis members. These are people who drive. They do 66 pickups per week.
All over town, then?
At about 30, from about 30 sources.
That's massive.
So it some days tend to become very busy. Last year, in 2020, Food at First served 28,500 meals. So that gives you a surprise, at least to me, a surprising reminder, I guess, of what the total picture looks like. And day to day, you don't think about that because you have, you know, smaller tasks to complete and your own thing. And then you're tired and you go home and ready for the next day. But you don't think about the bigger effect and the total numbers probably as much as we should.
So besides the prepared meals, do you guys run like a food pantry kind of thing too, or?
There's 3 days a week. The meals are daily. Then mm-hmm. 3 days a week there is, and I think this is what you're referring to, there's what is called a free market. And that is an hour ahead of when the meal is served on that day. People can come. We're doing this outside because of COVID. It's distributed outside in the church parking lot. So
you have to bring all the refrigerated items out for people to choose from. Is that what it works?
I'm not as connected with the market as other people. I'm not sure about refrigerated. But everything that is distributed as a market item is brought upstairs.
Don, let's talk a little bit about the market pre-COVID.
Okay, Bernie.
Yeah, pre-COVID, the market was inside the church. And because we were receiving so much food and much of it perishable that we weren't using all that for the meals, mm-hmm. that we decided that 3 times a week in the church, we would set up the tables and the guests could come through and they could choose from a variety of things. They would get things like fresh vegetables. They could get meats. They could get dairy things. They could also get lots of sweets, but they could come through and choose what they wanted to take home for their meal prep.
That is amazing. It's so, so good. We are going to take a little bit of a break here, but come back because we have a lot more to talk about. You are listening to KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen, tasty radio for the heart of Iowa. We are back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We are talking about the good food, the good people in this community that support Food at First. Food at First has been making meals for people that are hungry in this community. And they also have a free market, a place to pick up food too. And like I mentioned before, this is a good service for this community.
Right. It's all volunteer, and it's a hunger program that has no government affiliations at all, no restrictions. I must say, it must be interesting how you manage all of the, here's the thing about food, right? There's sanitation requirements. There's time and temperature requirements. You want to make sure that the food stays clean, that it's in clean things that you're transferring it in. I don't know whether you guys must have an awful lot of equipment. And then at the church, you must have a lot of refrigeration. This is not something where you just go pick up a pan of brownies and you turn around and it's food on an industrial scale. And it's amazing the amount of quantities that you, so what have you learned about transporting food in terms of sanitation and temperature requirements?
Oh, I'll jump in with anecdotal stories.
Yep, that's how you learn.
as Dawn pointed out, as we got involved with going to these sites and picking up food, we got to know the people who are managing the cafes very well. And so after a while, I convinced them to trust us to handle the food correctly. When we started, everything perishable needed to be refrigerated in refrigerated containers. That was hard, having these big refrigerated containers. But we convinced the donors that we'll put them in our tubs, which belong to Food at First, and this will get transported to the church quickly. Yes, really. We said that to the church, and we will get it into the cold room, which is very accessible, very wonderful, or into the freezer. So we convinced them completely that we would handle this properly.
Did they have to come over and see your facility to understand that you were prepared and equipped?
I think yes, at some point, but they also, we generated a lot of trust. And I have a little anecdotal stories of certain things that were donated to us that they trusted me and the other pickup people that we will handle this correctly. This is something quite special. Sometimes it was hot food, okay? And so I shouldn't be saying this on the radio, but anyway, we would make sure that it got transported to the right place and into the hands of people who were doing the dinners. All the dinners are made with donated foods, and many times we don't get the menu until we see what's there. So on a Monday morning, we get things coming in, and we change the menu completely because look what we got today. We can have this and use this, and we won't have to cook it from scratch.
We're talking to Bernie White and Don Wishart about Food at First. This is amazing. Now, because of the numbers that you gave us, Don, I assume way back when Food at First started out with donations being moved in people's private cars and maybe your trunk of your car, but now you've got trucks to move this?
We have a donated cargo van, which is a very convenient piece of equipment because you don't have to worry about putting too much stuff in your car, and most passenger cars don't even come close to having the capacity for what we pick up at some sites. So the cargo van, yes. Then we load that, bring it back to the church, unload it into the basement, and if it requires refrigeration, in it goes. Cooler or freezer, Lana, I've lost the thread on your original question here.
Oh, just how do you move this stuff around? But you're doing a fine job.
Okay, yeah, it's the cargo van. The cargo van has been an extremely convenient way to do what needs to be done. And while I'm on that topic, if any listeners would have interest in wondering if they could be a driver, a pickup person, one way to find out is to ride along with one of us to see if this is something that they would like to try. And I will give you Patty Yoder's, she's the director, Patty Yoder's email address. And if anyone is interested, I think that might be a good first step, is to get in touch with her. And this is all lowercase, what I'm giving you. Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Patty at foodatfirst.com. Patty@foodatfirst.com.
There's also a very good website that gives all of the information for how to volunteer, and somebody's doing a great job on the Food at First website.
Yes.
It's good.
One of the other interesting things, sort of humorous in a way, and I want to say this before I forget. Unusual food donations, and I don't have a long list of, and Bernie, I'm sure, has other things to add to this. And Bernie, I forgot to even talk to you about this, but last year when COVID first started to become a factor, many people had to make many changes. One of the groups was an Iowa State University fraternity who had planned to sell chocolate bars as a fundraiser for their house. And lo and behold, COVID changed all of that. So these guys arrived in a car with 600 pounds of chocolate bars.
Woo!
That's a lot of chocolate.
Chocolate bars going to a good home. I love that.
Yes, indeed. So those were distributed as part of meals for a long, long time afterwards. This week, we got 80 servings of chocolate-covered strawberries. I can't even remember where they came from. But, and then on a more standard note, one that's memorable to me because I helped unload a couple of these loads, an Iowa pork processor donated a sizable number of frozen pork loins, which, of course, were all eventually consumed by guests.
So you have plenty of freezer space too.
Yeah, that right now is a bit of a pinch. It's at capacity most of the time. Yes.
Let's give a shout out to Iowa farmers. So during the growing season, every once in a while, we will get a donation from farmers. One is a corn donation, sweet corn donation. We are invited to come out and pick the sweet corn. So we pick it up, bring it in, and then a crew of volunteers processes that corn, gets it all off of the ears, and then cooks it, and then we freeze it. So we have corn for meals year round, but we also get sweet potatoes and other fresh produce, which we love to get that fresh produce from the farmers. It's wonderful.
It's good to know that these things are being used. When gardens are like that, they kind of overdo sometimes, and yes, it's nice to know that there is a place to put things. Yes, there is. When we think about the kind, we shouldn't talk about kind of people, but there are hungry people in Iowa, and there's hungry people in Story County, and I'm sure the COVID experience has has hit many people hard. Maybe people lost their job. Maybe somebody's kitchen is just out of whack for a while, or people don't have access to a kitchen, but they have Food at First to come to again to have a good meal.
So what kinds of things do you get from grocery stores then? Like things that are at their sell-by date, or how does that work?
Sell-by date is a big factor in what ends up at Food at First. And as you know, even sometimes if something surpasses the sell-by date on your own shelf at home, it's still
perfectly
still very good.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that is a big, reason, I think, for having, sometimes a lot of food items to offer. Another reason they may have, misjudged, for whatever reason, the demand for a particular item, and that, to me, would always be a mystery as someone who would have to predict what shoppers are going to be attracted to.
I coordinate.
You don't want to run out.
No. I think that's true. Running out is a really bad thing. Yeah, apparently.
It's un-American.
Yeah. Yeah, Bernie.
I coordinated the pickup at Hy-Vee. And every Friday morning, I and a couple of wonderful volunteers would go to Hy-Vee, and we would get perishable produce, wonderful fruit, lots of it, sometimes cases of strawberries that were still fine, lots of melons, lots of squash, but it was produce, the sorts of things that we really want to have available for our cooking and for our markets. And so we would have to repackage sort of that produce and bring it back to the church. But it was a wonderful every week. And I think, I don't know how many days a week we picked up at Hy-Vee, but it was more than once a week.
Well, I was wondering if you did all of this picking up and schlepping by yourself, because that's a lot of...
It's heavy.
It's a lot of load the truck, unload the truck.
Produce is heavy.
Yeah. I used to say when I was a really active chef, I don't need to go to the gym because I get such a workout. It's very physical.
Yeah, the produce, as Linda is saying in the background, is very heavy. So I was always very lucky to have one or two helpers who were stronger than I.
And roller carts.
And roller carts to get it in. Yeah. I would talk about the pickup a lot. And I would get people saying, oh, that sounds like a really good program. I'd like to volunteer. And I'd say, well, yes, come and ride along with us and we'll show you what we do. Then the next line that I would say is, this is a weekly job. If you volunteer, you would be going every week out of the year to a certain cafe to pick up the food. Then there would be a silence and a general reply, oh, that sounds interesting. I'll have to think about this.
It is like a job, really, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
And it speaks to what we hear about but don't think about a lot, is that so much of the food in our country is grown and wasted. What are the percentage? Is it 30%? And
yes.
just looking around our community, how much before Food at First used to be thrown away? And we're not talking composted. We're talking about thrown away. This is not good. We have got a good option here. I think that's great.
So what have you gentlemen learned from your experiences? This is, you're basically in the food business for a retirement. What's it What's it meant to you? What's it done to you?
I think for me, it's just a total surprise at the amount of food that is available if you have a system like Food at First to do something about it, you know, to gather it, to prepare it, and to make sure that it gets distributed to people who need it. But you know, the quantity of stuff that we pick up and prepare does require more than one person. It's a large team effort. And, you know, Bernie and I are members of a Kiwanis group, but there are lots and lots of other similar bodies that participate in this as well. Some organized as a group of club members, some are organized as a group of neighbors or friends that have decided to do this. But it does take personnel and time. Yeah.
Well, it really is a rather remarkable system. And I always tell people who don't live in Ames when I'm talking, you know, to food service professionals that I'm very proud to live in a town that actually has a system like this, which means basically no one has to go hungry. Have you seen, like, through the Kiwanis Club or any other ways, other communities that are replicating this kind of system?
Don, do you want to talk to that about the sharing of our supplies to other communities?
Or the model of Food at First, even.
I know that our director, Patty, does provide some food items to a group in Perry, for instance, I believe. And also, I can't remember if it's either Colo or Nevada.
Nevada.
Okay. Yeah. Those are the only two examples that come to mind at this point.
Well, but do you know if there are other cities or towns that have similar organizations to Food at First that are doing this as well?
I do not. Although I'd be surprised if there were not other similar examples that are doing something like this.
I mean, it is very doable.
It sounds like a good idea.
It is a good idea, but it is a complex idea. And I wonder if people really appreciate how intense the organizational structure is. It's a really good job that you all are doing.
Yeah. We are talking about Food at First today. We're going to take a short break here and come back and join Don and Bernie again. This is KHOI 89.1. If you're listening to the Don Alana Kitchen.
there.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking about the fine people that support Food at First. Food at First does meals for this community, for those that need, and also has a food pantry called Free, well, I forgot, Free Market. We're talking to Don Wishart and Bernie White. Don, you were going to talk about how meals happen. How does a meal actually get from the back end of a grocery store? How do you plan that?
Okay, I'm going to give you a brief explanation or a brief outline of what we as our Kiwanis group do to gather a crew and figure out what will be served. We do the meals on the months that have a fifth Monday. So this year is four times. And we've found that we need somewhere between 16, 18 people total to do the cooking, the meal assembly, the distribution, that and the cleanup, that sort of thing. So we use our weekly club bulletin to recruit help from our members. That's the most important source for that. So about maybe 3 weeks out from the date, we use our club bulletin and our Zoom meeting to start recruiting members. We need, you know, two people to do this task, one person to do this, two people to do that, whatever. So that would include cooks. We're very, very lucky to have two cooks that keep returning, Chris and Doug Meinhard, and a cook's helper. We have cold food bag that has to be assembled and sacked. Hot food bag that has to be assembled and sacked, then meal distribution outside, and then also, as I mentioned, cleanup.
And how many do you plan to cook for usually?
120.
120.
Yeah, that's not always the actual number that meals that are distributed, but that seems to be the high end of the range, and you never know what day you're going to have 120 or 75. You just don't know that. So you need to prepare for the most. Okay, back to the carry out. The last time we did this, we had a total of 18 club members and some guests that helped prepare and serve and clean up. And this happens, as I said, in our case, four times a year. And sometimes I think we wear people out. I wonder if we're asking too often. But every time, it seems like we have an adequate crew. And many are the same folks. So they like what they do. I think in a member, as a member of a Kiwanis group or whatever group you're in, you choose maybe things that fit you.
And being able to help
as far as how you're going to contribute to that mm-hmm. cause. Maybe that's what's happening here.
Very good. Go ahead.
Building on your question about food or how we've changed about food, I can't overemphasize that most of these meals are prepared sort of on the fly, sort of at the last moment. And so what I have learned is that sometimes food will come in that would be something I've never eaten or never thought about preparing. And someone on that food preparation will say, okay, this is great. We will take all this Swiss chard and we will make a vegetable plate out of this Swiss chard, which came from somebody's garden, you know. Mm-hmm. So what I have learned is that there are many, many ways to prepare pork loin, to prepare chicken breasts to prepare other sources of protein that I've never thought of, and really give those cooks. There is one group that I'm especially grateful to, and it's a group from Iowa State University, and they're in a group that's fighting food waste. So these students are, and if they're down there and I have been bringing something in, I just have to say, look what I have. And this group goes into action, takes the food and unloads it and says, we'll use it. It's just wonderful. And they are really fun kids. They're not kids. They're students to work with.
So Bernie, are you saying that this has improved your culinary skills?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. You know, I think I love to cook chicken breasts and do this a certain way. But then I find out, oh my gosh, I could have thought about doing this.
This is a wonderful way. Well, food always connects people. Sharing food with people, eating food with people, preparing food with people. It's a wonderful way to get to know your neighbors. It's a great thing.
And yourself.
And being aware that there are people in need and there is waste that's happening, and waste doesn't have to be happening here. Thanks to good people like you, Bernie and Don, and the Kiwanis Club, and all those other, Donna called up the calendar for this month, and it was just full of people all signed up, ready to go.
All kinds of volunteers. I mean, I suppose you have, if it takes 18 people on your day, and that's only four times a year, you can imagine what's going on every single day.
The amazing thing is the every single day. You mentioned about a possible volunteer that thought it was great, until this stuff goes on every week, every single day, and we thank you for it. Give us information on how to contact, where you're located, the website on how to find out more, and any kind of information you want to give us on how to contact and how to volunteer. Either one of you, Don or Bernie.
Yeah, I think the best way to contact in regard to volunteering is Patty Yoder's email address. And let me give that to you again. And this is all lowercase. Okay, can you give it to me? All right. Okay, let me give you that address. patty@foodatfirst.com.
Great, that's a good start. And we thank you both for being with us today. Bernie White and Don Wishart, keep doing your good work. Keep that food rolling in. Thank you for joining us and being on the Donna Lana Kitchen.
Thank you for inviting us to be part of this show. It's been great fun.
Good story.
Good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're here in the KHOI studio Tuesday at noon and repeat at 7 p.m. or anytime at khoifm.org. Support community radio. My name is Lana Noctigo.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
We had excellent engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.
is Mayor John Ayla from Ames. The deaths of Iowa State University Crew Club members Yaakov Ben David and Derek Nanny while practicing rowing at Little Wall Lake on Sunday morning are painful and tragic. The entire Ames community extends its deepest sympathies to their families and friends. We share your sorrow at such a sudden and unexpected loss of life and are devastated by the outcome of this accident. Although I never had the pleasure of meeting either student, I have learned that Yaakov was a sophomore from Washington, D.C., majoring in accounting, and Derek was a freshman chemistry major from Normal, Illinois. They apparently both loved rowing and were enthusiastic participants in the sport. As a community, we welcome students from all over the globe to Ames to attend Iowa State University. As they learn, grow, and develop into future leaders, we hope and aspire for them to find their life's passion and place in the world. We are saddened by this unrealized potential from lives so unexpectedly cut short, and our hearts go out to their families and friends. The Ames City Council and City of Ames staff join the entire Iowa State University family and our own Ames residents in remembering Yaakov Ben David and Derek Nanny.